the 27th level of... I don't know what the f*** you're talking about.
Everybody, welcome to another Saturday special episode of Black Sheep Rising. Of course, you guys don't know it's Saturday. It's me playing on the podcast and whatnot. We got a bonfire going outside. I think we talked about it the other week. And I was thinking about setting the cameras up out there, taking the whole computer and the whole shebangabang out there.
Have. Cool.
I think that would have been really neat, but didn't happen. People might be walking in. We might have some audience here and there, but
so many different guests.
And we'll see what happens.
This, cool.
I mean, next week is going to be the Pork Fest. No, I'm sorry, not next week. The week after is going to be the Pork Fest. And so, yeah, there'll probably really be a round table event where everyone's just going to be walking on and, you know, in and off. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Didn't you do Pork Fest last year?
Yes, it was, but it was on a Sunday.
Oh, that's dead.
And yeah, no one was
so
there.
So you really couldn't do it.
People have been, they just drove 3 hours or whatever, and they were, you know.
What day is it going to be this time?
It's going to be the last Saturday.
That's going to be the most popular time that everyone's going to be there. It's going to be crazy.
Right after the pictures at 12 o'clock. So I think it starts like 2 o'clock or something.
Oh, that's perfect. So you'll have so many people there.
A merry-go-round of celebs.
Yeah, I think it'll be great.
Cool. What a great episode. That's
so,
cool.
Hey, who are we? My name is Conan. And Mr. Fabulous over here. Derek J. Horton. Now he's back to being Freeman. Once again.
I Horton for a little bit?
I guess I was on Facebook. Yeah, you changed your name to Horton. Everyone was like, what happened here?
You're right.
Part
of the time when I was away. I am Derek J. Freeman. I moved to Keene in 2011. Mm-hmm. As part of the Free State Project, a group of libertarians trying
to... Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah, I was trying to enhance the freedom that for myself and for my friends. And then I got into some trouble. People can figure that out at victimlesscrimespree.com. There's a free movie that I made about all
excellent,
my
arrest. Excellent. Much recommended. Very fun movie.
Cool. Thanks, man. Well, yeah, it's a full-length documentary that you can watch. It features 5 different arrests for things like possession of marijuana and running from the cops and...
I'm a cop, goddammit!
Yeah, having a dance party. So, but then I left after this... I was arrested because they put a suspension on me, some sort of thing where if I'm arrested, even for jaywalking, it would be an automatic 3 years in the New Hampshire State Prison.
They just got Rich Paul for doing all his shenanigans.
It happens to a lot of people. You know, they let you out on conditions, and then if you don't meet those conditions, even one little small slip-up, then you're in the can for a long time. So I stayed all the way away from New Hampshire. I went back to my home in Philadelphia.
Right, which a lot of people missed you when you were gone.
Thank you.
It's really hard living in Keene without there being a Derek J.
That's really kind. Well, that's when I went back to Horton for a little bit because I was like, oh, this silly activism thing, I'll just get known as my real name and that'll be cool, you know. It'll be better to be Googleable. But I feel like a Freeman.
Googleable.
Exactly. You know what I mean. But like, I'm not putting on a front by being Freeman. I feel like I am Freeman. Yeah. So
you cast off your old slave name and you've adopted a name that's more meaningful and it's who you are.
Even my family calls me Freeman now. Like I've got my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters. They all consider my last name to be Freeman as well. And it's not like I filed any paperwork with the state to make that happen. You know.
So like, that's just like your nickname that people know you by.
Yeah, I've adopted that name. You just start using it. You use it enough. And
well,
then
I mean, I hope I don't offend you if I say Horton accidentally at some point.
No, it doesn't offend me at all. So, but you know, what's in a name? It's about being here in Keene, and I'm really excited to be back.
Yeah, reputation is in a name.
Well, that's true.
You know, you can build it up over time, and of course, you can also tear it down just as easily.
I was going for the Google will show you.
A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Hey, who's this over here?
Oh, Ellen.
Ellen DeBaum.
Yes.
Ellen's finally
back. I remember
back.
You had a nickname for me last time I was here, too.
And I still haven't put this stupid bomb drop effect together.
Do you have a stage name?
No, actually, I don't. Well, Ellie and I picked stage names when we first started ALP, but it was only for the first episode.
Really?
So it just died away. And
I listened to your first episode live of ALP.
Wait, the one about rights?
I was tuned in to the first ever live episode on LRN.FM, and I was like, wait, what's this?
That's awesome.
A new show is coming
on? Another one?
I was freaking out because I was like, and it's Allie and Ellen? Holy cow. This is amazing. So tell us about it.
Awesome.
What was your secret name?
Well, I mean, the secret about that was that it's not actually the first episode. That was our second, technically.
Ouch.
The first one
I was
is
fooled.
Like secret, held in a vault right now, and
ooh,
we're not going
to
be releasing it anytime
to be
soon.
Released at a later date
for pay.
Maybe.
You know,
we'll
I
see.
Actually, and Daryl always gets on me about it. My first episode was 00, the pilot.
And he's
always mad at me
yeah.
that I didn't count it as one, and I'm like, well, the firsties don't count. You know,
no, it's just a practice run. You can't show people this. This is not like you're trying
to get
it.
But if you go through the list, it's there in the list, but it's 00, and it, you know, I think it's totally acceptable.
That's like a computer nerd thing to do too. Are you a computer nerd?
I'm a nerd.
I think you are.
I'm a nerd in all things.
Computer nerds start things with zeros instead of one.
Well, it's a better number.
It's a number. It's a real number. It's just no one uses it.
Yeah. Well, plus if you use like 001, then there's the expectation that you're going to go into the 3 digits eventually. Mm-hmm. Like there'll be hundreds of shows.
Is that what you did? Did you start with 001?
Yep.
Wow. So you're going into the hundreds.
Well, now, yeah, right now we're at like 45, I think. But
so ALP, ALP. And by the way, how do you say? Do you say ALP or do you say ALP?
I just say ALP. I don't say ALP. It's not one word.
You never say awesome, loving, positive?
Actually, no. I did say that, what was it, last week? So sometimes if we don't come up with a meaning for ALP, which is why we named it ALP, was so we could switch the name every single week.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes if we don't on time, it's just like, it's a cheap cop-out, really. It's like, we're awesome, loving, and positive.
So what is Awesome, Loving, Positive Podcast? With two fine young ladies on it, who one driving all the way across New Hampshire to get to because it's so good for her.
Well, I don't know about that. The whole drive is a hassle. But no, I really like doing the show just because it's about intellectual empowerment. So it's really just encouraging people to like expand their horizons and think about things that they never would have before.
Where do you broadcast from?
We broadcast from Ellie's house, which
cool.
is at a discreet location. But
oh, it's like an underground bunker type situation?
Not exactly. Well, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
We keep it secret so that, you know, nobody tries to infiltrate or like...
It's a windowless
bunker. Look through
bunker.
The bathroom window.
That's cute. Okay.
So and unlike BSR, where we just talk about whatever we want to, you guys actually cover topics every week.
Yes.
Or
every
try
single
to anyways.
Week, every single week, it's about like one specific thing. That
one
we go
thing.
On.
And I really like that because you can focus in on that one thing. It really gets my like imagination juices going. I can
That's
really
great.
Focus and think on that one thing. It's like Peace News Now does the totally opposite. Like, let's just move on to the next thing.
Right. Like, there's...
Don't meditate
flash
on that.
And glamour.
Yeah. But I love that ALP focuses on one issue and you can really wrap your head around it. Also makes it easier to pick out the episode from the past. Like, oh, remember you guys were talking about such and such issue? It's like, yes.
Well, we can actually...
One episode.
Yeah, we name each episode with like what we're talking about. It's so great like because you can actually summarize the entire episode in like one or two words. But I mean, I'm glad you say that. That's the reason that... that's the whole purpose that we made ALP. So,
and do you guys, take
that,
callers and stuff?
Sometimes you take callers, right?
We used to when we had the LRN studio.
I called in,
and it got out of hand.
Well, now that we're not in a studio where everything's already set up for us, like we have to do all the
oh come on
the techie
do the
stuff
work.
Ourselves.
You mean, like,
do
all,
the work.
You mean like all this stuff right here?
Yeah,
do the work.
We don't like. Do you think Ellie and I
it's
are going to spend
easy.
The time learning all this wiring?
Easy
and stuff?
Skype. We live in the age of Skype. You can take Skype calls for nothing.
But you guys are streaming, live streaming, and I'm not even doing that yet. I'm, you know, I still haven't figured out some of the mechanics behind what I need to do.
Why don't you live stream? You don't live stream?
Not yet.
Why not?
Because I just haven't gotten around to it.
Oh, you could be doing that. If it's not too techie, you know, the listeners at home could be doing that too with a program called ManyCam and with a free software called like Podcaster Live.
That, you know, I'm live, sure it's not as complex.
It's well, no, I have multiple channels going on, so we might be watching like a movie review or something. Are we maybe doing a movie review? So we're watching video, or we're talking about some
That's
activism.
That's what you use ManyCam for. You can like broadcast the different camera views, and then you use the live stream podcaster to feed it out.
Is that free software?
It's all free.
You know,
and
sure
any listener at home could easily download it and make
I'll look
show.
Into that because that's
it's so cool.
Sounds great.
It's great stuff. Great software.
Probably easier than we expect it to be.
You can also use Google if you're not opposed to using them. I know they own the whole world, but. They have Google Hangouts, and you can broadcast. What was that? Yeah, exactly. You're wearing the Skynet shirt.
They own me tonight.
Yeah. Well, Google has Google Hangouts, and that's also free software, and you can broadcast videos, change the camera angles, and stuff.
I was playing with Ustream last week, and I have problems with it, with trying to get connected. Sometimes it lets me in, sometimes it doesn't.
Ustream is trash. Don't use Ustream.
Use Google Hangouts?
Are you serious?
Google Hangouts is better than Ustream, and Livestream, I think, is the best.
You see, Allie and I have never had problems with Ustream, though. Like, every time we use it, it's just...
Good.
You know, there's no issues.
I'm glad it works for you.
I mean, what issues have you come across? Like, maybe I can figure this out now so that if it comes up in the future, I won't have, you know, be completely clueless as to what it is.
I don't really have issues other than compatibility. Their stuff tends to be more PC friendly, and so if it works for you, then great. Stick with it. I've used them with AVTM, Adam versus the Man. They used Ustream
broadcast. Right. I remember you being on there.
Yeah, it was a pain.
A royal pain or
no,
just
no,
like
the,
average
the
size?
Ustream, using Ustream. Was
okay.
The rest was a pleasure. I had a great time while I was there.
Good job. Speaking of other shows, Ellen, you were talking about some other project you have in the plans in the works, and it's due on Wednesday.
Yes, I'm so nervous about it. I was actually invited to be on the Voluntary Virtues Network. Was it like a week ago? I think.
Cool.
And a half-hour-long video series every single week. So I'm gonna have to find time to write that out, and you know,
you're gonna write it out.
Yeah, well, I don't. What else am I supposed to do?
Off the cuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk,
or maybe.
I mean, I could, but this is all going to be pre-recorded, so.
Yeah.
So I'm at their website right now, voluntaryvirtues.com, and I guess this is a new project that's just kind of popped up.
What, Voluntary Virtues?
I don't know how new.
Yeah,
it is,
Michael Shanklin, he has been doing voluntary videos for a long time. He's got his show, Voluntary Virtues. He's really good about spreading stuff out on social media and connecting with big names like Jeffrey Tucker. And he recently decided to put together, I guess it's a 24-hour news network sort of thing where he's going to be putting videos on a cycle. And he's getting voluntarists to do shows. And so, you know, I'm going to have one. Sick Sad World is going to be on there. Ellen's doing one. And there's like,
so it's just
going to be filled. So Adam Kokesh is another big name who's going to be on there.
So this is just like a video blog.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Like a lot of the people that he's having on the program already do their own shows anyway. Like Adam Kokesh has his show, and it's just going to be fit into a time slot. It's sort of like a video LRN. Like if you like LRN.FM, then you'll probably like this new Voluntary Virtues.
Right, and I've actually met a few people who have shows that they do on this network. Like, I went to Manchester not too long ago, and I actually met Objectivist Girl, Lauren Rumpler.
Yeah.
God, she was fun to talk to, because we're both, like, somewhat objectivist. So she's like, oh, high five, teamwork. But then...
it's cool to find other objectivists out there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And then I was talking to Carlos not that long before. I guess they do Carlos Morales. He does a show with her as well.
Yeah.
So
he was almost actually. I almost had both of those individuals at the same time on the show, and I don't know what came about that. Oh, vehicle issues. So that'll do it to you. If you're living friggin', you know, a whole hour away, that'll kick your butt in a heartbeat. Derek just this week is having to put up with some old nonsense. That required a lot of driving.
Wow, yeah. I was crying. I was in tears this week over
what
my
happened?
Issues with the DMV. I never feel as much like a slave as I do when I'm in a government building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
because
true.
Because there are all these constant reminders. No matter what government building it is, if it's a school or a revenue office, you know, so-called, or
the soulless
a city hall,
workers.
Well, it's not the people. The people are the most human part of it, but the posters that remind you to, like,
fill
out
this
form. Yeah, yeah, sign up for selective service if once you turn 18. It's a lot of do this, do that sort of things in government buildings.
They're like the Vogons. If you ever read the book Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yes, just like the Vogons.
So the idea was, I used to not comply with the state, and I was trying to live free without asking permission, and I would take the consequences and see what comes of that, and that made an interesting documentary. That was a lot of trouble, and I would just like to take the opposite tack, which is, okay, Mr. Government Man, let me comply the hell with you. You know, mm-hmm. I will do everything you ask me to, in all the right order, all the paperwork, and it has been such a nightmare. I have not played this role in a very long time, and I've forgotten how scary it can be.
I can imagine. It's so complicated to get everything together that you need.
I spent full days waiting at the DMV, waiting in these lines.
And they lead you in circles, too.
Well, they do, because, you know, once you get to the front, then they tell you you don't have enough, or this, or up. So I was at the point where, like, I was going to hand over the money for my license on Monday, and the woman at the DMV is like, oh, sorry, we just had a problem in Massachusetts. They're holding your license. So I went down to Greenfield. I had to pay a private cab to take me to Greenfield, Massachusetts to go to the DMV there.
How much did that cost?
It was expensive. So I got the issue taken care of in Greenfield, and then I come back, and they're like, oh, sorry, hasn't gone through the system yet. So, like,
so
I paid the money. My ass went down to Greenfield and back before their computers can register that I paid them hundreds of dollars. I mean,
sure, they've got so much paperwork going through the system all the time. Like, they can't possibly get to you faster than you
might
can get
actually
to them.
Be paperwork. They might, from state to state.
I don't know what it is, but it doesn't make any reasonable sense. Because now, so once I've gotten everything cleared up.
Well, it does, because they don't have any competition, and there's no reason for them to integrate and become part of 2014 with the rest of us.
Right, join civilization, yeah. Right? Well, the best part of it is, so I'm spending all week driving around, paying about $1,000 total to the state after all told.
Oh, goodness.
And so I'm like, all right, but it's worth it, right? Because I'm going to get my license, a piece of plastic that you need to do basically everything in the world. And if you don't have it, you're screwed. So I'm like, all right, I got this. I'm all dressed up in case they take my picture. I'm standing in line. I'm next in line. And one of the women comes from behind the counters and she says, excuse me. I remember you from Monday. You had your license here, and it was about to expire. I just have to tell you that your license is no longer a primary document. Now that it's expired, it's a secondary document.
Man. Oh, my goodness.
And you're
going
to need to bring your birth certificate. And I don't have my birth certificate, so I had to leave. All the money was paid in vain. I get nothing for all of the money and my time. I get nothing.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay, because
no, it's not okay. Like, that's infuriating how inefficient and terrible the system is, that it makes it impossible for people to get.
How old was your license?
Are
you
required?
It was valid on Monday, but it's not valid on Friday, and so they need my birth certificate to prove that I was born in America. If I was born in America on Monday, I think it stands to reason that I'm still born in America on Friday.
Right.
So,
like, they legally accepted it before. Why not now?
Right. The fact that the date changed, it is infuriating, Ellen. You're right. So I will follow through with my strategy of submitting to government, and I am getting another birth certificate. So I'll just find out what the process of that is like.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of hoops.
So you have to, like, go to the hotel that you were born at and be like, hey, do you remember me? Was I born here?
I'm actually
in the files.
But it's kind of funny because I'm getting my mother to get the birth certificate because I'm not in the hometown or anything. So I'm like, Mom, can you get the birth certificate? She's like, I'm going to have to prove that, like, you're my son.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
If it makes you feel any better, our very own President Obama had this exact same problem.
You're right. he needed to prove his birth certificate.
It took like a whole year and a half or 2 years to figure out where he was from.
And what the hell is even the point of birth certificate? You think they should put something on it like your baby foot? Like sometimes they do stuff like that, or your thumb.
Yeah,
like,
thumbprint.
They don't even do that. It's just a piece of paper. There's been no improvement since like 1700.
I'm thinking of like
you could easily change your name at any point in time.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like royal family records where the knight would have to bring his... this scroll with his family lineage
on it to prove
who he was so he can get into the tourney to joust some other silly guy with the same records.
I promise you my genes are good enough to get in.
Yeah.
It's funny to me because we live in an age of cryptography, so like I can pull out my cell phone and
buy a Java, buy a coffee from the counter.
I can prove that I have money in a bank account and use the internet and do all these amazing things, but we're still relying on actual pieces of paper for proving things as important as identities. It just is amazing.
Well, it's not safe enough to put it online. I mean, you think about it, they probably keep it in paper form just because they don't want people to hack into their databases.
Are you suggesting that the government has just really thought about this and they're like, well, it would be more efficient and safer if we just didn't put this online? Is that seriously what you think?
I think it would just take so much time.
Well, the regular level of government that we're used to working with, I'm sure that no.
I doubt it.
It's just they're just doing what they can do because that's the way they've done it.
Yeah, the system's not going to change anytime soon.
But in
government, the creative, innovative person always gets knocked down and fired. You want the submittent,
or the person
who's going to follow rules without question.
Or they quit, and they're so inept
at their job that they don't even take this into consideration?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you serious? Yes, of course. They're not thinking about innovating.
The serious innovators get hired on to go work for Skynet or, you know, for Apple or whoever, and probably get better pay, and they actually, you know... give back to, you know, society. Give back to the world. Whereas, you know, hey, government doesn't have any competition. It's a nice, easy job, and you get benefits. And
Are you sure it's easy? Every time I go into the DMV, and this happens every single time, without fail, every employee that is there...
Silence! I kill you!
Every single employee that's there is some older... woman that's got like graying hair that just has this dead look on her face, like she's just completely miserable with her life, not enjoying her day at all. Let's talk about that.
That's a psyop, by the way,
because they're always having to deal with like guys like this, and they're having to break the sorry bad news
when they break bad news to me, they don't even care. They're like, well, sucks for you, go on with your merry
way. That's a psyop. You know why? Because if it was some mafioso big jacked guy, people would be screaming at them, and they don't scream at little old ladies. They know that this is an irrational system, and people used to get screamed at the DMV. When they first initiated these rules about how you have to prove your birth certificate, the senior citizens were going crazy in there. They were going nuts. They almost killed people. The DMV makes no sense. It's a black hole, and there's no one to complain to. And everyone knows that it's crazy, and it doesn't make sense. They only ask for more money and more senseless rules. So the reason that they put a bunch of little old ladies in there... is to make the organization look sweet and to make it look like you can't complain. Because no one's... You would get...
Yeah, you know what? Yeah,
a rational person would blow up in that place.
Yeah,
they would go insane.
The boss... Have you noticed the boss is always some young guy and he's in the back room and you never see him unless there's just something that the old little lady can't fix and she's got to call in the young guy.
No, you
the
know
young
what?
The little lady is sitting there with a register and she takes your money. If a mafia was controlling the neighborhood... they would have their money collector be a little old lady like her because no one's going to be mad at her. They're the little sweet townsperson.
It's like, oh,
she
don't blame the messenger.
Money. Yeah, you can't be mad at the little old lady taking money. Derek. She only works for the mob.
No, I could certainly see people.
The clockwork elves, all of it. I shouldn't even get into it.
What? The clockwork elves? What the hell?
That's some serious conspiracy right there, bro.
I don't think it's conspiracy at all. It works just like the mob.
If you want to know
how government works, it works like the mob.
I think that... Yeah, I think you're partly right, but it's also kind of a job for little old ladies. I mean, it's just, you know,
sit at the desk all day and do paperwork.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you have teenagers working it? Like teenagers working 7-Eleven.
Because they do more physical labor. You know, they do the jobs that elderly people would not take. I don't know many teenagers.
Is flipping burgers physical labor?
Yeah, I don't know many teenagers that are actually working.
You're on your feet most of the time. It's just different because generally elderly people take the positions where they don't have to be on their feet. And the
DMVs are hiring these old ladies, and they know exactly why they're doing it.
I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I totally agree with you. I'm just saying they probably already have mostly old ladies applying for the jobs at the DMV.
And it is a boring-ass job, and maybe those are the only people who will stick. The teenagers aren't staying. They'd rather flip burgers.
Well, yeah, of course. The people who are taking the jobs, the little old ladies, of course they want that job. But I'm saying it works both ways. The DMV is seeking them out. As much as they're seeking out a job where they can sit on their ass all day and collect a pension, you know, the DMV is looking for them because they're little old ladies. They're not going to yell at. You remember how much uproar there was when I filmed the crossing guard? And yeah. Why was that? Because she's a little old lady. People have a special standard for them that they're exempt from all
rules. Even though, and I see that lady every single morning, she is the grumpiest, just the snarliest, almost.
Witch is a nasty witch. So call it what it is. Why do these old ladies get an exemption? Just because they're women?
Because they're old and they've lived a long life and they need more respect and they're fragile because they're old.
Old dudes don't get that.
And they get all these dudes.
It's like, get out of here, you old coot.
I know. They're like the most crotchety people. I don't understand why they get more respect. It's like, no, they're just terrifying.
I don't know.
Did you hear me? I said, get off my lawn now.
Screw grandmothers.
That's what I think of every time. When I think of an old man saying, like, get off my lawn. Think of that scene from Gran Torino. Where Clint Eastwood's like,
I don't know, man.
I'm just trying to take the opposite approach. Everyone loves grannies, and I'm just being like anti-granny. Screw you. You're old. You're special.
It's okay to have radical opinions like that. I don't know. We still accept granny hating.
Do something better.
Dude, they bake cookies. How cool is that?
I don't know. I never had a granny make me cookies.
Yeah, I don't think that crossing guard lady makes cookies.
I don't think she makes cookies.
unless she makes them with her stop sign.
Yeah, right.
She's got an oven somewhere, a brick oven, where she slides the stop sign underneath the cookies.
Exactly.
And pulls them out.
Old style. All right. So
I don't know how I became such a hater on this episode. I'm usually not a hater.
Well, because you're talking about the DMV and all the time and money you wasted on it.
We started out with the DMV and all the government.
That's just a terrible topic.
It's the badge class.
I am sorry you had to go through that. I would be so angry if that was me.
At least we're at a turning point where there's young people like us who are like adult age, but still young enough to be like, wait a minute, we were just being told how everything's supposed to be, and we're realizing that's not actually how it is.
Right,
and
it's changed over the years.
Well, and we have enough power to like do something about it,
right.
You know? So,
I was about to go on the old talk show Sound Blast here with James.
Why are you not on that, by
the way? Well, not today. They canceled three times, and I don't know why. I mean,
suspicious.
Well, I don't know. The co-host is running for executive counselor or some
just
crap.
Just saying.
But
there's a conspiracy.
So I was preparing
here
to answer some questions that I thought that the status types would ask me. And it's like,
the definition of
like, for example, why do you guys even care? Why do you guys even do what you do? And you were kind of alluding to it, and it's that we're a generation, and we stand to inherit all of this.
Well, it's because we're the ones who should be doing something. We're at the right age for that.
Yeah, this is our inheritance, and guess what? The generations before us have squandered it and run it right into the mud. I mean, Social Security. Do you guys expect to get any Social Security?
No, not at all.
Healthcare. Do you guys expect to get any government paid for free healthcare?
No.
Look at all the programs, all the entitlements that people are living off of right now that government provides.
We're not getting any of that shit.
It's a terrible system.
They're spending way too much than they're making in revenue.
I love that one because everyone's like, oh, but someone else is going to pay for it. And then they're realizing they're getting bills that are coming to their name. And they're oh, wait, I'm somebody else.
So what do I do? As a young guy, do I stick my head back in the sand, or do I actually try to do something about it, like remove as much government as I can?
Well, you can't pull other people's heads out of the sand once they're already in it. I feel like that's just a waste of time. So the only thing you can do is, if the sand is already settled.
But if it's just still sand, sure, if it's sand, yeah. But if it's – a lot of these guys are friggin' in rock. It's not sand. I mean, they're
solid granite. Like, there's no way you can pull them out.
But I'm ching.
Ding. Yeah. So, I mean, I could go back to sleep, or I could do something about it, and I guess I do come off kind of a little hateful every now and then. You know,
well, you're passionate. You care. It's better than being apathetic. That's the real disease.
People
want to
know. People want to know who I'm at war with, and I am at war. I am at friggin' war with these people. They're stealing from me, and they're using my money.
Oh, but that sounds like a terrorist threat.
To fund things in my name that I don't agree with.
Domestic terrorist over here. Standing behind
I guess we're all terrorists
symbol.
Because we're associating with him. We're his cohorts.
I prefer Freedom Fighter, by the way.
Wasn't that a wise move on behalf of the overlords, though, to start drumming up fear against domestic terrorists?
Oh, incredibly
years ago. But when they started realizing that they were starting to become really tyrannical, they were like, hey, we should also pull a psyop on everyone and make them fear people who are afraid of us. Like, that's the good move. And they really have done that.
And it's mainstream.
I can joke now, like, oh, domestic terrorists, you're talking about anti-government stuff. But, like, that's really the narrative that they're trying to pull.
Well, here in Keene on local radio, I hear domestic terrorists at least once a day.
It's become part of the collective.
Yeah, these guys are fearful of, you know, someone just going irate one day and walking into the city hall and shooting people.
So, like, I study propaganda.
Or blowing something up or whatever.
So I study propaganda as a hobby, and I produce propaganda as a profession. So I am submersed in this stuff, and I study propaganda all the time.
So could you compare yourself to Goebbels?
No, not at all. I wouldn't compare myself to Goebbels, but I am very into the topic of propaganda, and I think that this one has been an effective tool. The domestic terrorist propaganda has worked, and I saw it when it started coming out years ago, and I picked up on it. I was like, no one's going to buy that. No one's going to believe that crap. But you're right. I hear it every day on the mainstream radio. The conservatives are scared of domestic terrorists, and they should know better.
And it's not just the conservatives. The liberals as well. They should try
to prevent the situations that bring about domestic terrorist behavior in the first place. Like, don't try to polarize people so much. I think it's ridiculous. Like, the drama that's going on right now in Keene because of the sidewalk chalk. Like, what is that all about?
Well, here's
drawings.
This is how that worked. Those people, the haters, they have been looking for something forever and ever to rally around.
That is totally
and
true.
And Derek's getting slapped by an old lady with a stop sign wasn't enough. But this last of the chalking, it's enough to bring all these people together and give them something to rally around. And
you know, I actually
because they have always hated us. These are the guys who are in concrete. There's nothing we can do except get the jackhammer out.
Right, they're already full of hate anyway. They just need some target to direct it at.
And that was the chalk. The chalk finally brought them together. Hmm. And the question is, do we back off and just start concentrating on other things? Or do we stand our ground because it's a frickin' free speech issue and we're not hurting anybody?
Right, but they're presenting it as childish.
I don't know. I kind of want the Stop Free Keeners to win the chalk issue. Am I sort of...
You want... Why?
Hear me out on this.
Okay, go ahead.
I think that it's dumb. And chalking is...
Hold on there.
Alrighty. Are you kids ready? Story time.
Tell us a story, Derek.
So chalking is dumb, and the people who are going to do it are going to do it anyway. And it's not it's an issue that Stop Free Keene should just win and feel great about and feel like pat themselves on the back, and then we just do something more important.
So can I just ask,
like,
because
chalking's not that important. And
it's not.
So
that's what I was saying. That's what I was saying.
So, like, let's focus on something else and be like, all right, good job.
I mean, that's true. I do have better things to do with my time than draw and chalk, but still, like, if people want to go out there and make artwork to, like, present to the public, or maybe they're trying to get a certain message.
We already won that.
Yeah, but
what happens
if they actually create an anti-chalking ordinance?
Then they'll win on paper, but they're not actually going to win in real life, because people who are going to chalk are going to do it anyway.
If they catch them, then there could possibly be negative consequences.
Then we win some more, because there's video of people being arrested for chalking.
So you're saying
they're not going to beat the activists, but they might beat the some other person who doesn't, you know, identify with us.
But wait,
the guy by himself.
That's like the mentality.
Nah, man, because we'll be there to defend him.
So you're saying that you have to get the state to back off by increasing the laws and then creating a revolt?
I am of that opinion. I am. I no, no, no.
By the way, that's an argument that's been brought up for the past month. It's like, don't these guys want to reduce laws? And here they are. They're actually creating laws to fight these guys. I mean, how do you think about that argument?
Some people are of the opinion that you want a government. If you're a liberty person, you want a government to be as tyrannical as possible, as off the wall Stalin is.
Well,
as
I mean, it gives
be.
More validity to your point, maybe.
Exactly,
it gives you a reason for living. But
you can point it out to people and be like, look at the government. It's evil, and it makes it a lot more apparent for people when they can see the government is like clearly evil.
Right, but if you have a purpose that you're fighting for, don't you want to know that like no matter what the outside situation is, you're still going to be justified in what you're doing?
Look, but it's not like the people who are arrested for chalking are going to be put in the slammer for years and forgotten by their families.
No, but
they're
going to
be given a small fine. There's going to be small arrests, and we're going to make as much publicity about it as we can on freeking.com.
Stop like, freaking.
Yeah, we'll
be on there too.
We'll blog on there too. Maybe, yeah.
Well, see, I wanted to bring this up because I feel like this is relevant. I live with some people that are in the Stop Freaking group. And
are you for real?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Wow.
And yeah, it's tough because
that's personal.
This is how I know how hateful they are, because like
I don't even want to stop you.
Yes. I don't understand why they like me. And I swear they don't, because every time I see them, it's like I'll walk into the room and they're already talking about something. Freakiners, like what are they doing this time?
Do you blog at freaking.com?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you're not a blogger at freaking.com.
But see, they don't understand the difference between like free keen or libertarian
so
or free state
project.
So you are
not a free keener.
Not technically.
But do they know your political affiliation? Do they know where you stand? So they don't have a problem with that.
Conan, you
are a blogger.
No,
a blogger.
At freekeen.com.
So I am a freekeener.
Conan and I are freekeeners. You are a neutral party, and you live with a stop freekeener. I don't know about this.
I live in Keene. I moved here as part of the Free State Project. I have been involved in like libertarian
infiltration
media for a while.
I don't know. What should we do now?
Somebody thought I was a Fed when I first moved here. They actually Googled.
Everyone gets thought of as a Fed when they first, except me. I think my hair was long enough that they let me alone.
Yeah, like, oh,
yeah,
no.
You're not questionable at all. He's definitely an anarchist.
Oh yeah.
The long hair, the piercings, it all makes sense. No, but this is how I know that they're so hateful, because I don't even have to bring it up and they're already talking about it.
No, let's give an example. Just being hateful because you're talking about someone. You know, there's a lot of similarities between lovers and haters in this respect for Stop Freaking, because they hate so strongly, they care. Yeah. And they're some of my biggest fans, because they will look through all of my videos when I haven't even watched all of my videos. Like, I take the raw videos of stuff, and I just upload them. And maybe I haven't watched every one, but I just upload them to the internet, and I only saw them the first time live.
Yeah.
But they watch every one, and they will comment to me about, like, stuff that's in them that I don't even remember.
So they're, like, obsessed with
commenting. They're obsessive fans,
yeah.
Yes.
So they comment negatively towards you? I feel like that's what they would do, because, you know, even the fact that I'm affiliated with people that live in Keene that are like libertarians or anarchists or free Keeners or whatever you want to call them, like somehow that makes me like I'm under suspicion for being the one who violated the monument. And it's like, how does that even make sense? I wasn't in the area at the time.
And it wasn't even done by a free keener or even someone who identifies with free keener.
Exactly. What are you talking about?
It was just some guy.
There was some graffiti on the monument in Central Square.
The chalking
graffiti.
Vandalism.
Can you describe the graffiti?
No, I can't actually.
Well, as far as New Hampshire law is concerned, it wasn't graffiti.
Was it a peace sign? I think I
heard
but
it was in chalk
sign.
And it could be washed off, so it wasn't actually graffiti. And that's why they're going to create this new ordinance to include chalk.
Definitions are important, and I would not call chalk graffiti.
Now, because you can wash it away. The fact that it was a vertical surface and that it wouldn't rain, the rain would not even hit it, and it was even under a ledge, so the rain would never wash that off. And the fact that it was on a vertical surface and a government structure.
Right, but that monument stands for more to
these
people.
What? Let's get to the big point here. Why the hell do we have a Civil War monument representing our Central Square? What the hell does that mean?
Our Central Square? It's not mine.
Well, I pay taxes in Keene, and so I kind of consider it's my commons.
Well, it's like a
are you
a
joking?
To,
you know better than that.
It's a part of my yeah. It's common, so I
it's
mean,
a memorial
you
know to the system taxes, that they set up.
The taxes that you pay don't go towards goods or services that you're you know authorized to use. It's the government's. They demand money of you that is irrelevant to the services that you get.
Yeah.
So don't act like you get a piece of the common because you pay taxes. That's just a narrative. But you know better than that. It's not yours. It's theirs.
I do, and that's why I'm always bitching about the taxes. That's like my number one thing.
Why is there a Civil War monument on the square? Because it's theirs. It's theirs. Well, they like war.
Yeah, but
they're violent.
Yeah, but who were the guys who proposed it from the get-go? Was it like a city councilor, or was it like some guy, or was it a...
I don't know.
Or was it a regular taxpayer who's like, you know what? The only way I can get that Civil War monument that I really, really want is to run for city council, and then I can lobby it from
yeah,
within.
Yeah, that would be great.
And that's
like
usually how that
kind of
nonsense works right there. But, yeah, I mean, what the hell? There are some...
Do you know when it was built? Was it like 100 years ago or something?
Well, it's pretty fresh. It's a pretty new monument. But I'm saying let's get rid of the silly thing and let's erect a peace statue in the commons.
That
would
be
that
much
look
better.
Like?
I don't
a
know. Maybe just
peace.
Maybe with some doves at the top of it or something, or maybe it may be a monument of a style Madonna or something.
Maybe
or,
just another fountain.
Well, or just nothing, or just a, yeah. just a pillar.
I like gardens.
Of course, the girls are getting mad at that because it's, here we are erecting phallic statues all over Central Square.
I'm starting a victory garden or a peace garden, as it were. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a better idea for the square so that people could pull vegetables or pull whatever sort of flowers or whatever.
So you want like a community garden?
Yeah, like a community garden. That would be like it's a living symbol.
Yeah, that'd be cool, but nobody's going to take care of it. And the people who don't take care of it.
Oh, Tragedy of the Commons, right?
Yeah. The people who don't take care of it are going to take advantage of it.
Or the hoodlums will go through with the baseball bats and they'll be smashing pumpkins just like they do, you know. Have you seen that movie, the Anarchy movie, where it's the one night out of the year or one year?
I didn't watch that trash.
I'm not going to either, but I just thought about that. I'm reminded of Pumpkin Fest at the end of Pumpkin Fest where they go and they smash all the pumpkins.
Yeah,
that's
what a
waste.
It's
kind of like that movie. It's like there's like a couple hours where they're flipping cars and they're lighting shit on fire and they're smashing the hell out of pumpkins. It's like to let the aggression out for this is your one day. This is your one hour.
Why don't
they
do anything else with the pumpkins?
But only a statist could come up with
I would love to take those pumpkins and I'd be eating pumpkins for 2 months.
I know.
But only a statist could come up with a concept like that because they're the ones who actually have the repressed anger.
Let's just spend thousands of dollars on these pumpkins that we're just going to smash in the streets and totally waste. Like they could do something better with it.
They didn't spend it. We did.
So here's the thing about the common. Mark Edge, who's one of the ministers at the Shire Free Church, made an interesting comment this week at the tax exemption hearing where the city of Keene was deciding, should we exempt the Shire Free Church, basically the activists, from paying taxes to the town? And he was saying, according to our philosophy of voluntarism, if we're not paying for it, we don't own it. So if you don't want us in the square, why don't you just pull that $3 or whatever out of the year that we're paying to maintain the square and say, we don't want your chalk on there. That would be an interesting argument to actually use the ideas of voluntarism to say,
yeah, but that,
stay the hell away from here. We don't want you. We want our Civil War monument.
But
we
they
want
to have their cake and eat it, too. They want to have the money from activists, and they want them to obey the laws.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Well,
they denied the tax exemption.
They need everyone's money to make their programs work. If everyone starts opting out, before you know it, there's only three guys paying for Central Square, and then it turns into – that's a big bill right there.
Well, anyway,
and then of course, how do they prove? So, and the hoodlums who aren't paying their fair share. How do you prove? Do you have a ticket booth outside of Central Square where they're only allowing people with their little stamp to come into Central Square and utilize the facilities?
No, I would imagine it would be like most private parks where some rich guy puts up the bill because he likes to be able to use the park whenever he wants, and then he says, and anyone else can use it too.
Yeah,
that's typically how it works.
And typically, you're absolutely right. I grew up in a city where almost everything was community run. It was the coalitions got together and they sponsored this park, or they sponsored this lakefront, or they sponsored these trails, and it was a great place for churches and Boy Scouts and the whole nine to go. Hey, we need to pick up litter this week.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting that like if you can associate the property with a certain person that you know. You're more likely to respect it than if it's just like generally owned by everyone.
And that park
will
probably get
like
that person's
city.
Name in the end too.
Yeah.
Before you know it, it's whatever's. It's Derek.
Oh boy,
it's
a name.
It's Derek Horton's water mill.
Oh, I don't want to ruin Derek Horton's bench.
Oh, wow.
Better clean my trash up. Don't want Derek to take responsibility for that. But see, like, if when it comes down to it, who owns the central square? Like,
the government.
So there's no one person. It's just like this collective group of people that is collecting money from everyone else.
Well, it's and what is government?
It's the bureaucrats who sit in city council. I would say it's the city councilors. I think they own Central Square.
Right. Is it, and is
they
it
tell
the
cops what
laws?
To do. The cops are,
but the cops are the ones enforcing the laws.
Yeah.
So
but they tell the cops what to do. They own the cops. So they own the town.
I mean, I hope the cops don't ever figure this out, but they're the ones that are enforcing the laws.
But it's not just city council. There are people who stand behind everything that comes out of that room. And they might even one day run themselves. So they, so I don't think it's just this. I don't think it's just the men and women in city council.
Do you really think so? Because I was there when the Keene Bearcat issue was happening, and I saw the room so filled that there was a fire marshal regulating the attendance of that city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And overwhelmingly, the townspeople were saying that they did not want a bearcat, that they would not respect the decision of the city council if they decided to get a bearcat, and they did it anyway.
Yeah.
So for you to say, oh, but there's a sloth, you know, a bunch of people who are going to support city council no matter what they do, is just wrong.
No,
that's not bared out by the facts.
No, I'm talking about the 1,000 or so people who actually vote.
But they act independently. The city council acts independent of what the people actually
but there's
want.
But there's at least 1,000 people in this city who will vote one way in the favor of city council or the school, the Keene School District, in favor of increasing this or expanding that every single time.
Why do you think that is? They've got nothing at stake.
Stockholm syndrome. They're stuck in it, and they're.
But don't they see it's a disease that's eating and consuming them?
They're the house
no,
slaves.
Probably not. They don't see it that way. They're probably like, oh, this is good for me. Like, they're totally convinced
that, so sick.
That it's a benefit
just,
for them
like,
to have the services provided to them.
Just like Malcolm X said, you have two types of slaves. You have the house slaves who will bend over backwards to enforce their master's decree, and then you have the plantation, the field slaves, who know and hate their master, and they'll do everything in their power to fight the master.
Wow, that's so interesting. Malcolm X, man. That's amazing. I never heard that. I never thought about
that. I'll link that in the show notes.
Please do.
It's an amazing. He also talks about slave names and the way that he won't even identify with his born name, his birth name, because it was given to his ancestors against their will.
Interesting note on that. Also, in his later years, turned away from violence and towards peace and gave up his violent ways. I think that's also of note. So interesting. I've been thinking a lot about the slave mentality or like hacking the system for people, because I think a lot of folks, they know something's up, but they need some help navigating it. And you know, if you've got your 9-to-5 job, you just don't have the time to dedicate towards figuring out how the Matrix is really working.
It's time consuming.
Yeah, so I was thinking of maybe dedicating a little bit of time each week to sort of like hacking the Matrix and figuring out what's really going on, or at least do my best research of what I think is going on. Present that to people. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, actually. But it's just difficult to get people to actually get interested in that, because, you know, if you start talking about it to other people and they don't know what you're talking about, like as soon as you bring up something that lies outside of their circle of comfort, that's going to make them, you know, push you away.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. There was someone who was in the square seeing the chalking happen, and she was trying to figure it out, like, what's going on here? She was asking me some questions and really was just trying to figure out, are you red or blue?
Oh,
what's,
my God.
You know, like,
what
side
are you
on? Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you
us versus
you're,
them.
So you're talking about creating a program to help.
It's outside of that.
To help wake folks up. But you said the Matrix.
Yeah.
Matrix is a prime example. Except how many people actually watch the Matrix and put two and two together?
Well,
who's got the wool over
their eyes?
It's got
so many layers.
That's a very popular movie.
Yeah.
almost everyone has seen it, but who the hell puts it together and realizes that, yeah, this is a whole slave versus the master's type of scenario, and by the way, and there are many, many other layers.
Okay, but maybe if you're just, like, narrow-mindedly, like, a techie, and you watch The Matrix, all you're thinking is, like, oh, someday when singularity is reached, the robots are going to take control of humans.
Or what I thought as a philosophy major in college was, I ran this debate for debate team that was really popular, where I gave the team I was debating the option of which side they would like to choose. And the theme was, you are Neo in the Matrix, and you have gotten to the point where you have been presented with the red or the blue pill.
So did they,
which do you take?
Did they get to choose
they would
the
get
side
to choose what
it?
Pill? They got to choose what pill to take, and then I would choose the other side and argue for that.
How old are these people?
This was a college debate, so I would go around and, like, you know, we were debating Harvard and Stanford and other places, and it was a really fun debate, but the issue was not about slave versus owners. It was about, do you choose your own reality, or do you live in a world of blissful ignorance?
Comfort, yeah.
And it was still – there are so many layers to the movie The Matrix.
Yeah, I know which I would pick the red every time. It is painful, but I would rather experience the pain and know that what I'm feeling is real and I'm going to fight it because I do want the comfort level. I do want to get to that level where I'm relaxed and calm and peaceful.
And you
want to
know that you have free will,
but
right?
But I want it to be real. I want reality. I don't want this. I want fake nonsense. I can do that watching TV or playing video games, and I do that too to escape every now and then. But in my real life, I want everything that I feel to be real.
Hmm. Oh, that's true. So which side won? I want to know. Like, which side was argued
the
best?
I won no matter which side we chose.
Oh, okay. let's not flatter you here, but yeah.
No, really. I mean, it was a debate we would run frequently, so it's not like it happened one time at debate tournaments. Typically,
did you ever
run
debate yourself? So, Derek, this is my point. How do you argue against that?
No, but I would debate my debate partner frequently. We would run debates several times a week as part of the Brandeis Academic Debate and Speech Society, or BADASS.
Ooh, I like that. Oh,
perfect
I like
wording.
Your little thing, too. Ellen changed the name of our message to BADASS.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like
well,
it.
Every conversation has to have a name, right? And I was like, well, this is Black Sheep Rising, so got to think of something catchy.
Black Sheep Rising.
Very cool. We got an answer on that monument, by the way. It was created in 1871, and it was made by Martin Milmore. It was an Irish sculptor. And it seems like there's a lot of Irish influence in this area.
Yeah, there is.
I don't want to say repressed, but
there's
seems
some roads
like
around here that are called like New Scotland Road. So I could see
makes
that.
Makes sense.
So this was like within a reasonable time period of the Civil War. Maybe that's why, because like there's
I just don't know what Keene, New Hampshire had anything to do with. I guess they maybe I don't know. What did we have to do with the Civil War?
Maybe there's just one rich family. Maybe there's just one rich family that's like, well, we had family that was in the war, so we're gonna build this monument.
I mean, I really don't care. It doesn't offend me. I'm surprised that you guys even care about this guy. It's a striking statue. It's attractive.
Yeah, it's very
He's
nice.
Holding a gun. I like guns.
Yeah,
what's wrong
I mean,
with that?
I have nothing against the statue.
I don't
like
the Civil War. That was a horrible thing. And I just certainly don't like the War of Northern Aggression. I would consider the North to be aggressors in the
No,
in the
I definitely
Civil War.
Like this statue better than the Irish famine statue in Boston. That was just terrible.
Irish
like,
famine statue? Is it just people sort of like clasping?
Yeah, it was
and
so
suffering?
Morbid. It was children that were starving to death, like
wow.
halfway falling down. You could see all their ribs, and they were wearing rags. It was so overly dramatic and
but
depressing.
That's what you want to see on your way to work every
no,
morning, right?
Not at all. Like that makes me lose hope for humanity.
Was that outside of a government building?
I'm sure there was government buildings
give us
somewhere.
Your needy. Give us. I mean,
Sam Adams' grave was like across the street, so. It was. I'm sure there's so many guilt.
Sam Adams' grave?
Yes.
Wow.
I actually posted a picture of that on Facebook, but I didn't take a picture of the monument because it was just too depressing.
I can understand.
But I like that statue. The guy actually looks like he stood for something.
So, as I said, Derek, I told you earlier that we weren't going to get any of these show notes done.
No,
because typically that's the way, and especially after moving to an hour show,
I can roll through it.
Look
you want
at
me
this.
To tell
we went halfway through.
Let me tell
the
good
list
people
already.
What I prepared for them.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Tell them, but let's not. Yeah.
I'll do it quick. The fashion police in one of my hometowns, Cape May, they're all wrong. There's a story that I read on Police State USA, and I had to reread the headline. I did like a double take. I was like, oh, that looks like my hometown. I'm like, oh, there it is. Like, yeah, that actually is.
This looks like California.
It's Cape May. No, it's Cape May,
New
Jersey.
What's the beach in California, the weight where they're all lifting weights and stuff, and there's all crazy
Laguna
people?
Laguna Beach. This one is Jersey.
This isn't sunny enough.
This is Jersey Shore, and this is the southern Jersey Shore, so it's not like the Jersey Shore that you would see on MTV.
Uh-huh.
We're a little more conservative, hence the mandatory dress code that's being handed down here.
Wow.
So this is where my dad has a house here. My little sisters, we love to go swimming, and we're a block from the beach, so we are often just walking out with our swimsuits, and we just walk over to the beach. I don't even wear shoes sometimes because we're that close. And now it's the law that between 7 p.m. and 7 a.m., you have to be wearing, like, formal dress. You can't wear a bathing suit.
Okay, but how ridiculous is that? That they're making nudity more offensive by enforcing these laws. Like, if everybody was comfortable with walking around in swimwear, like, nobody would be offended.
And people do. Ellen, like, we'll go, we'll grab a bottle of wine, we'll have a couple of drinks on the beach, and then we'll walk home. But, like, we can't do that now because you have to make sure you have shoes on or you have your shoes and you have to have like pants. You can't have a swimsuit. So like you got to go home and change. It's like it's the beach. Come on. You're supposed to be able to walk around on the boardwalk.
How are they going to enforce this? Like there's so many people like when they go to the beach, they're just going to, you know, not care. They can't arrest everybody.
Oh, no, they can't.
This is soothing.
I like this. Is this from like Legend of Zelda or something?
Actually, it's from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I recognize
seven.
It.
7.
Yeah.
I was thinking of a good beach drop, and I'm like, what the... And I...
This is perfect. I love this. What's this from?
I just told you.
I know, but what from in Final Fantasy?
There's like a
like
resort.
A market or
it's
something?
Like a beach resort that he actually wakes up in or something.
This is perfect. Well, anyway, this is Cape May. This is my town. Let me read from you the law. It says, no person, either male or female, specifies transgenders are exempt from this law, shall be attired in a bathing suit, trunks, or other than usual dress on any public street or in any public place. With this music, I feel like I should change my voice. After 7 p.m.
There you go.
And prior to 7 a.m., with reference to the boardwalk or promenade, usual dress includes appropriate footwear.
So, do they enforce... do they have these laws anywhere else around there? Or is it just specifically along the beach?
No, there's this one other town called Wildwood that's imposing that law, but it's really just... It's just them. I don't know why they would think this is a good idea. Jersey Beach needs all the help it can get right
control
now.
It's the same thing this guy's doing here in Keene with the chalk ordinance.
It's just
you got control freaks who just want their own vision of utopia, even if they have to step on the throats and the faces and the heads of everyone else to get to that level. And there are people who support Filio. It's a small minority.
Oh, yeah.
It's a small minority here in Keene, but there are people who support him. And it's horrible.
His brother supports him. It's horrible
that the control freaks are out there. And hey, we are standing in their way, and we're going to continue to stand in their way.
And we're going to prove that their attempts are going to fail miserably.
Just like Robin Hood.
Exactly.
At least we'll have a laugh at it.
The only problem is they're spending our money. They'll be spending our money in order to defend their cause instead of spending their own hard-earned money, because these are all government politicians, and what hard-earned money do they really have?
Oh, forget about it. The lawsuits are going to go into the hundreds of thousands. I mean, for real, if they pass this ordinance, do you think the ACLU isn't already eyeing this up?
Well, Robin Hood hasn't gotten that high yet, but yeah, you're right. It could get that. It could potentially get that high.
Oh, yeah. A free expression case?
But they don't care. They don't care.
Of course not. It's not their money. We'll throw the taxpayers' money at any.
Yeah, they don't have to care.
We're questioning their authority, and they don't know how to react.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So,
well, they react the only way they know how to, which is more laws.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be talking about this, you know, for a good long time. This isn't going to be over for, you know, anytime soon. Yeah.
Play us out.
Let's do this.
I want this song.
Let's end it on a good note. So, despite the terrible news that you can't dress in a bathing suit on the beach, we did have a really good episode.
Yes, we did. And it's summertime, and we're all like wearing lots of clothes.
Yeah,
what the hell?
It was kind of cold.
Well,
outside.
No one's gonna follow this ordinance.
It's gonna be like 40 degrees tonight.
That's true. But the silver lining to that Cape May story is that no one's gonna follow that law. Like, I talked to my dad.
True.
I emailed my dad and my whole family. They were like, "No, we're not gonna do that." There's gonna
that's
be massive
the best
civil
way,
disobedience.
That's the best way to get rid of a law is to not obey it.
Yeah, people are gonna be like, "Oh, that's great. You passed the law."
It's like it's a myth. It doesn't really exist if no one believes in it.
That's right.
Hey guys, you've been watching Black Sheep Rising, and you can visit the official webpage, blacksheeprising.org. You get all the links and the show notes and the audio and all the goodness. It's all there. If you have some extra chinkles on you, want to help an old man out, you got a PayPal donation option there. You also have a Bitcoin donation option. Help me out. Help me out even more by going to our Facebook page. I'm hoping you guys are friends of the Black Sheep Rising Facebook page.
Oh, but of course.
Okay, because I don't know. Because every now and
don't
I find someone.
Don't you think
I'd every now and I find someone who I regularly.
Maybe not after this episode. Maybe I'll unsubscribe.
Who I regularly rub shoulders with who aren't even fucking friends of the show, the Facebook page.
I catch myself doing that once in a while.
It happens. You just got to be vigilant. It's not personal.
Go to the Facebook page. Give it an old like, and I drop the photos if I take any, and I drop the show notes, and the all kinds of goodness goes there. And of course, you can join the conversation, and let me know who you like, what guests you want to have back on, what topics you want us to talk about. This guy right here, Derek, lives in Keene, readily available, and he likes the show. And Ellen, she's driving all the way across New Hampshire to get to her other show. She might as well drive to Keene every now and then to come be on this show.
Right. What's a half an hour?
But if you want to get in contact with me directly, email me at show@blacksheeprising.org, or you can leave a voicemail at 267-521-2771. Leave anything you want, and if it's cool, we might play it on the show. Derek, where can the people find you?
PeaceNewsNow.com is my website. I keep it updated pretty regularly, at least twice a week, with new episodes. I do interviews of people on the topic of peaceful resistance. PeaceNewsNow.com.
Ellen, what about you, fine young lady? Your shows that you're doing?
So you can find ALP, which is like the main project that I focus on, at ALPShow.com, or check out our Facebook page at Facebook.com/ALP Podcast. And, Free Talk Live I do every Friday night.
Oh, yeah. So. We all three of us do Free Talk Live. So
really?
Word.
We're in the same team.
Monday.
We should all have matching rings and, like, put them
together.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm like Monday sloppy seconds. So if you guys don't make it Monday, because Allie was Monday, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're officially Monday.
I'm officially Monday.
So now I'm going to fill in some other sloppy seconds.
All right, very good.
And Ellen is?
Friday nights from 7 to 10 p.m.
There you go. Derek brings you into the week, and Ellen,
boom.
Well, the work
it gives
week
you a
yours.
High five out.
And you might be finding Miss Ellen on the Voluntary Virtues.
Voluntary Virtues Network.
Yeah, pretty soon.
Potentially.
Yes, potentially.
if this works out, I'm hoping that the video series goes smoothly.
Outstanding,
we'll
guys. I hope to see you some more. It was a real nice show.
Yeah, rock on. Let's go back to the bonfire. Have a party.
Yeah,
I bet there's
people
still people
leaving.
Here. Yeah,
yeah, Derek, what song we close on this evening?
We're closing on a song called Elephant by the band Tame Impala. If you haven't heard of them, they're like a psychedelic rock band. They've put out a couple of albums in the last few years, and they're modern day. If you listen to their vocalist, he sounds a lot like John Lennon, though, and they have a lot of psychedelic influence from maybe the Beach Boys and the Beatles. So I've been loving their albums. They've got one called Lonerism that just dropped, and this song is called Elephant. I think you'll enjoy its psychedelic influence.
Outstanding. Yeah, I really liked some of the songs that I heard. This was definitely the one that caught me the most. I really like the beat. It's kind of crunchy. Yeah, little oldies but modern, and it's nice when artists recapture a variant that didn't need to go away, and or maybe it's not attractive to the young folks because there's an old quality to it that's not attractive, but this definitely puts a new spin on it.
I was actually really impressed when I heard this song, like the mixture of styles that they did, and it worked out so perfectly. Like, I love it, and I've never even heard of this band before.
I'm a junkie for rock, so anything that's got that like real nice rock influence, I love. But plus the psychedelic factor in this is off the hook. So yeah. I enjoy it. Give it a listen.
Outstanding. Guys at home, thanks for watching. We'll see you next week at the same time. Good night. But it feels like an elephant shaking. Check, 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 check.
Is not kosher here?
No, bring them on, man. Bring them on.
I just have a little glass. I should.
Bring them on. And there's coffee in the other room as well. I'm drinking a little coffee myself because I'm doing the back and forth. I'm going the high-low. High-low, high-low. Ellen was actually, I think you're on two shows, right? I think the last one you were on, I drank a little too much.
Really?
You didn't know?
Did that actually happen? You were overly drunk?
Oh, you damn straight. I was having a hard time. I was watching the show. I'm like, wow, that guy is toast.
Really? I think the last time I was here, I talked to you after the show for a little bit about like the campaign.
Oh, yeah. I was drunk out of my mind.
And your artwork. I could not tell at all.
Wow.
You're very good at hiding it, I guess.
I guess.